Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Few experiences in life are worse than being deserted and abandoned. We come to trust certain people in our lives, parents, children, partners, teammates. But when they fail us, when they forsake us, we're grieved. When we're children, there are few things more terrifying than being afraid that your parents have left you, have forgotten you. As adults, we recoil at the stories of babies being left in dumpsters and garbage cans. We see, possibly even experience, the crushing weight that comes when a spouse abandons their spouse for another person. Or when a business partner flakes out and leaves someone else holding the bag. There are few hurts greater than that of being abandoned by one who you loved and trusted. Jesus Christ knew what it was to be forsaken. He felt the sorrow and the heartbreak that it spawns. As the prophet Isaiah said, he was despised by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Jesus was rejected by his own people, rejected by the nation of Israel. Just 5 days after they shouted, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," they cried out to Pilate, "Crucify him." His own people handed him over to the enemy, handed him over to Rome to be put to death. Christ was rejected by the religious establishment of the day. The religious leaders, the Pharisees, the scribes, the priests, these were the ones who planned and brought about his prosecution. The very group of people who should have been the first to esteem him, the first to acclaim him, were instead the first to disown him. Worse still, even his closest friends abandoned him. When trouble arose, they ran. One of his 12 closest friends was the one who betrayed him and handed him over. Even his inner circle of friends dispersed when he was arrested. Peter, who had earlier promised that he would die rather than deny his friend and Lord, well, brought down curses upon himself, swearing that he didn't even know the man. The Lord was abandoned by his closest friends. As Jesus hung dying on the cross on that gruesome Friday afternoon, even the light of the sun deserted him. We're told that darkness covered the land from noon until 3 p.m. Light itself fled from the one who claimed to be the light of the world. While those weren't enough, even justice abandoned Christ. There he was on the cross, even though he did not in any way deserve to be. The Roman governor Pilate had declared that he could find nothing wrong in this man. The wicked king Herod even acquitted Jesus of the charges that were brought against him. And yet there he hung, suffering as the worst of criminals. Justice nowhere to be seen. The absence of this justice is demonstrated in the response to of the bystanders to Jesus' cry that we heard tonight. When the people heard him cry out, when they heard him say, "My God, my God," well, some thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah. And it's not altogether difficult to understand that what he was crying out sounded a lot like Elijah's name, especially coming from someone who was in agony and struggling to breathe. Part of it was also that there was a superstition in that day. A superstition that a person who was being unjustly punished could call out to Elijah for deliverance. The belief was that if somebody was truly innocent, Elijah would step down and bring that person vindication. And that's why some wanted to see if Elijah would come for him. See, in the eyes of the people, Elijah was kind of the personification of justice. So the fact that he didn't come and rescue Jesus was simply attested that he was guilty. To us, it shows that he was abandoned even by justice itself. Yes, Jesus was abandoned. He was abandoned by his nation, by the religious establishment, by his friends. As he hung dying, he was forsaken by the created order itself as the sun withdrew and hid its light from him. But all these forms of abandonment pale in comparison to the ultimate abandonment. His being abandoned by God. Being forsaken by the Father whom he had known for all eternity. This was the final form of forsakenness that Jesus experienced, and it was the most hideous of them all. Now, during this Lenten season, we're reflecting upon the statements that Jesus made as he hung there on the cross. We're spending time considering these words that he spoke before his death. All of them express some aspect of Christ's final mission. I would make the case, though, that none express more powerfully and poignantly the horror of this mission than those words that we consider today. They're recorded for us in the original Aramaic which Jesus spoke them. The gospel writer tells us what the meaning is, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's possible that there are times in your life where you have felt abandoned by God. Perhaps it was during a time of sorrow and loss. Maybe it was while you were experiencing a great amount of grief and pain. We may experience utter despair as we believe that we have been abandoned by God. Yet what we are promised in Scripture is that though we might feel abandoned, we are not. God remains there for us and with us at all times. We might not always recognize it or feel it, but it doesn't make it any less true. But that's not the way that it was for our Lord. Not only did he feel abandoned by God as he gasped for his final breath, he was actually and truly abandoned by his Father. He really and truly was forsaken by God. But why? What was the reason for this most extreme separation? The answer is that it is all because of us. Jesus was deserted by the Father because we had deserted God. And how had we done that? Well, by our sin. By our sinful rebellion against God's Word. It was our sin that caused that initial separation between us and God. The prophet Isaiah said it this way. He said, "Your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear." See, the original alienation was initiated by us. Our first parents rejected God, rejected Him to go off following their own will, and we have followed in their footsteps ever since. Each of us has deserted God through our sin. And the punishment for such desertion is separation from God both now and in eternity. And the ultimate separation is hell itself, an eternal place of God's forsakenness. But Jesus has come to bear our pain, to bear our sin and its punishment. And the prophet declares, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is why Jesus was forsaken by his Father. It is because he bears our sin in his body on the tree. On that Friday afternoon when the sky turned dark, all the darkness of sin from all people gathered on him. He bore our iniquity as he hung teeming with our sins. And the holy face of the Father turned away from such wickedness. The pure light of God's righteousness was repelled by the darkness of our depravity, by the darkness of our depravity that was laid upon Christ. Because he bore your sin, Jesus became anathema to his Father. Or as the Apostle Paul puts it, Christ became a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. In that moment, one of the great mysteries of all time took place. God the Son was forsaken by God the Father. This doesn't mean that the Trinity dissolved. The Godhead remained intact, but by some mysterious means which we can't fully understand, Jesus was forsaken by his Father. And at that point of dereliction, Jesus experienced hell. He tasted hell, the absolute alienation from the Father for everyone. In an instant, the Eternal One endured an eternity of damnation in order to free those who were destined to be there forever. Jesus did all of this for you. He did it so that you would not be cursed by God. He did it so that you would not need to be separated from the Father. He experienced the forsakenness of God so that you and I might not be so forsaken. Paul wrote in his letter to the Galatians, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. And in his second letter to the Corinthians, he wrote, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He suffered abandonment so that you and I might be restored to a right relationship with our Heavenly Father. Immediately after Jesus died, another remarkable phenomenon occurred. Matthew's Gospel reports that the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now, what had that curtain been for? Well, that curtain showed the separation between God and his people. The curtain served as a barrier between God and sinners. But once Jesus died, the sin of all people was paid for. Thus, the barrier separating the holy God from sinners was no longer needed. There was no longer any separation between God and his people. My God, why have you forsaken me? These words were spoken by Jesus so that you need never be forsaken by God. You need never fear abandonment from your Heavenly Father. Jesus bore your alienation from God. He endured what you deserve. He was abandoned by the Father so that you might never be separated from him. You are forgiven because he was forsaken. You are accepted and loved because he was condemned and rejected. Because he died, you can live secure in knowing that nothing in heaven or on earth can ever separate you from God your Father. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.